Disaster oozes ashore.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Bill Radke. Oil from that destroyed offshore well in the Gulf of Mexico may have reached the Louisiana coastline overnight. The Coast Guard plans to fly over this morning to confirm that. Sludge is now leaking from that BP well at an estimated rate of 5,000 barrels a day. And the region is bracing for an ecological disaster. As Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London, the British owner of the well is bracing, too, for a gusher of lawsuits.
Investors are worried about the potential cost of legal claims. The fear is that with its environment in jeopardy and many livelihoods at stake, the state of Louisiana will sue BP. Commercial and charter fishermen have already filed at least six class action lawsuits. Many more are thought to be in the pipeline. BP will be especially nervous, says Chris Grabowski of Peak Oil Consulting, because of the American legal system.
It opens up a sort of Pandora's box of legal action. You have this concept of punitive damages. You have this well-established tradition of class actions, and you can get very large settlements under those.
Punitive damages of $5 billion were initially awarded against Exxon after the Exxon Valdez disaster in 1989. Those damages were later much reduced on appeal. Nevertheless, Exxon's total bill was more than $3 billion. The worry is that BP could be facing an even bigger tab. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Shares of BP lost nearly 8% in value yesterday on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're tanking again this morning on overseas markets. That's weighing on Britain's FTSE, which has slipped more than 0.5% at this hour. Germany's DAX has nearly erased a healthy gain and pulled back to just a hair above the center line. But Asian stocks advanced today on the heels of a 122-point gain for the Dow. Things just went from bad to worse for Goldman Sachs. There are reports this morning that federal prosecutors are aiming a criminal investigation at the big investment bank. The probe by the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan is described as preliminary at this point. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the latest.
News of the investigation comes just days after Goldman executives testified at a congressional hearing. The Wall Street Journal first reported news of the criminal investigation. The journal says New York prosecutors began their probe after a referral from the Securities and Exchange Commission. The SEC has filed a civil case against Goldman. It accuses the investment bank of defrauding investors. Civil cases are easier to prove than criminal ones. Alistair Milne is an economist at City University London. He says the criminal case will be even more difficult because the financial products Goldman sells are very complex.
I think it'd be very hard to establish that they were actually exploiting customers. They'll always say, well, this is very complicated and we were just managing our risks.
Goldman says it'll cooperate fully with the investigation. A Goldman spokesman told the AP that, quote, given the recent focus on the firm, we're not surprised by the report of an inquiry. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Vanguard. Vanguarding is an investment philosophy designed to help individuals reach their financial goals. Vanguard.com. And by Constant Contact, working to help small businesses understand what social media can do for them. Learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Can you guess what these things have in common? Television, the X-ray machine, and the ice cream cone. Well, they all made their debut at the big international expositions, otherwise known as World's Fairs. Those events used to be a very big deal, and China hopes to restore their impact. Shanghai has spent an estimated $58 billion getting ready for its 2010 World Expo, which is more than Beijing spent prepping for the Olympics. In a few hours, our China Bureau Chief Scott Tong will be there as it begins. Hey, Scott.
Hello, Bob.
Let me fiddle uncomfortably with my tie here and note that I've heard this expo called the Rodney Dangerfield of world news. Nobody gives it any respect at all. Is there something different this time around?
Well, here I've heard it also called the six-month-long trade show. So there are people in Shanghai dissing it too. But talk to the companies and the countries that are participating, and this is the trade show that cannot be missed because this is China, the great emerging market of our time, the chance to show your face to the Chinese government, to show your face to 100 million Chinese customers. You know, as one person put it to me, in Imperial China, the outsiders came to pay tribute to the emperor. And now they come to pay tribute to China Inc.
Okay, so set the scene. What's this going to be like? Is it a big expo hall or what?
Well, it's a giant outdoor thing. It's kind of the county fair in an oversized way and an amusement park, and everything looks huge and futuristic. Every country has this pavilion. The British pavilion is the talk of the town. It's this earthy, funky structure with these protruding needles coming out. And part of the wow factor, they say, is to lure Chinese executives to come and gawk and then talk business in the VIP area.
So it sounds like this is an investment for these countries. What about corporations, corporate presence?
Well, multinational companies. General Motors has its own corporate pavilion. So does Coca-Cola and Cisco. Other countries sponsor their country pavilions. The U.S. pavilion actually is funded mostly by companies. And I spoke to Evelyn Kalik over at the Australian pavilion about the companies helping to foot the bill for them.
And for them, we're adding a little bit of icing to the cake. Corporate sponsors can invite their own VIPs and they get VIP treatment with fine Australian foods and wine, fine Australian chefs, world famous.
And so, Bob, this is kind of corporate suite writ large, catering to the captains of industry in China and to the foreigners who want to do business with them.
Marketplace's Scott Tong in Shanghai. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob.
And finally, every day a parade of double-decker tour buses rolls through the streets of the Big Apple, blurring out trivia on everything from the number of floors in the Empire State Building to the spot where John Lennon was shot and who is or isn't buried in Grant's tomb. Oh, shut up already. The city council has responded to complaints about the noise with a vote to ban the bus loudspeakers and require headphones within the next 5 years. Tour bus operators say it'll be costly, but New York's message is, keep it down, will you? The city that never sleeps would like a little peace and quiet. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.